Is it a social distance thing? Is it a shelter in place thing? Or is it a quarantine thing? Or is it a staycation? Whatever you want to call it, let's all choose to make the best of an uncertain situation. Make your home a stress-free place of relaxation while soaking in your own Bullfrog Spa from Tropical Fiberglass Pools and Bullfrog Spas. Right now, get 24 months no interest on approved credit. That's right, 24 months no interest when you buy from Tropical Fiberglass Pools. Bullfrog Spas are made in Utah. They're the most energy efficient and the most reliable spas in the industry, and they're perfect for your vacation rental. So let the relaxation specialists at Tropical Fiberglass Pools help you find the perfect spa or pool so you can turn your backyard into a staycation oasis. Tropical Fiberglass Pools and Bullfrog Spas will come to you for a safe in-home consultation. Call 688-8797. That's 688-8797.
People find recovery.
Name one time in history when the guys that wanted to ban the guns and books were the good guys. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Governor Noem joins me now. Governor, good to see you tonight. Now, how would this work? How would you enforce this?
Well, there is always a request made, to the states where the federal government would put the request in and ask. And what I have determined by watching the actions of this president is that he is making America unsafe. These are people that are crossing our border illegally. We do not know who they are. Multiple news sources have told us that we have people on the terrorist watch list that are getting into this country this way, and they're not going to find a place here in South Dakota.
Are they legally required to alert you to this, since they say, and I've heard them say this before, Governor, that this is a federal authority? The federal government is uniquely charged with doing this. So, you know, we're going to resettle them where we think, as a federal authority, that makes sense.
They have in the past always communicated with governors. I wouldn't put it past this administration to do it very differently or do it in a way that they didn't have the authority to. Listen, from what we're seeing happen at the southern border and what we're seeing happen in so many of our cities that this administration isn't shutting down, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to America, to the people that live here, and it's going to take governors standing up and setting down the rules on what's really going to happen in their states.
Hi there. Welcome. That was a little Kristi Noem for you. And she actually tweeted out to the illegal immigrants, illegal aliens, call me when you're an American. So I like her spunk, man. I do. She's not perfect, but I tell you what, she has been has done some awesome things. And she's joining two other governors. Our very liberal progressive governor won't do it, but Noem will, and two others will. And they are saying, no, we're not going to accept. We're not just going to accept people in our state. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? I love that. I am sitting here. Welcome to the show, by the way. Huge show ahead. Investigator Dave joins me. Milty will be here tomorrow instead of today. And Investigator Dave joins me in the next hour. And then also I have Rob Couch, a guest, talking about what's going on in Minnesota in the last hour of the show. And so I'm excited about today's show. There's so much to go over and so much to instruct about and talk about and let you know what's going on, as we always try to do. The truth about what's going on. Anyway, I have Alan Davis with me, a former candidate for county commissioner. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Oh, I wish you were in there right now.
Yeah.
I say all the time to people, even off the air, I just cannot believe the three that we have, because it's been hard watching them ask Mother, may I, during COVID. And it's just been hard all the way around, all their decisions.
Yeah.
It's just been a mess.
And that's part of the reason why I'm here today.
I know. I'm so excited to hear from you. So so this is huge. So tell me what you're up to.
Oh,
I love this.
Well, myself and five other people this morning at 8:30 dropped a ballot initiative off at the county clerk's office to change the form of government. Actually, it's to expand the commission to seven commissioners, seven part-time commissioners elected from districts.
Excellent.
Yeah.
This is such good news. It needs to have more representation, because it's representative of the districts.
Correct.
Of the people.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of reasons behind that. You know, I feel like if I had a problem with a county commissioner now, mm-hmm. I would have to buck the whole county, you know?
Right.
But if we're elected from districts, you know, I can create enough.
Yeah, you can hold the person responsible.
That's right. Myself, you know, I could create enough concern among the people, the voters there, that
warn he would them of what's going on.
Correct. You know, I'm a firm believer in government closer to the people is best. You
right,
know, and
exactly.
So that's what this whole thing started out to be, and it started out earlier. We was going to do it before COVID, and then COVID hit, and we thought we can't get signatures mm-hmm. if we don't
sure.
do that.
You're right.
So for those people that aren't familiar with a ballot initiative is the people's way of legislating, you know, mm-hmm. the common person's way of legislating.
Ballot initiative is really important for people to know. It really is.
It is. And as a general rule, I'm not for it because a lot of times they're just crazy stuff. They're medical marijuana, you know, and I don't want to take away from anybody that was, you know, has a legitimate use for that. Yeah. But just recreational marijuana, sometimes it just brings out the crazy stuff.
Well,
a lot of
liberal progressives use the ballot initiative to go ahead and put forth any program that they can get a huge amount of government doing, you know, more government, right? More
right.
government institutions, more government involvement. We would like government to more or less go. but I like what you're doing here.
And after the last election, it became perfectly clear to me, like, mm-hmm. I could not be any more clear. I had to learn it this way, that the problems we have with with our local government, and this is where we can have the biggest impact as an individual person is on our local government. You know,
right.
So you know, there's a lot to go on. We have to the county has 20 days to either reject it or accept it, and they can only reject it based on on certain criteria, like mm-hmm. it's not constitutional or things like that. You know, doesn't make any sense. You know, legitimate reasons, and then we have 315 days from today to get signatures involved, but we don't get the packets for at least 20 days. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Sure.
And we need a little over 3,000 signatures to put it on the ballot.
You're definitely going to get that.
Yeah. But then it's up to the people, you
right,
know,
you're
the
right.
people have to reach down and grab that and pick it up and make something of it. You know what I mean?
That's
if,
so true.
If they choose to, you know, and we live in America, nobody's holding a gun to anybody's head over this. If we choose to change the form of government, you
right.
know, they need to get involved, you know? You know, I imagine that it will require a little bit of money too to mm-hmm. pass this through, because you know the current
sure.
regime or whatever.
They're gonna
fight against it. Yeah, that's when we're gonna get our kickback, is on the election, not getting the easy part's getting the 3,000 plus signatures,
right.
you know, and then it goes downhill from there, or it gets harder from there, you know.
Right. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. And you know, it's something really to think about and get involved with right now, because we've said this again and again. Chris Ann Hall has said it again and again. Local government. Put your everything into what is going on locally. When we were dealing with COVID and the county commissioners did the mealy mouthed, and we asked permission and they just said no. And
yeah.
I thought, you're kidding, right? I thought, who's going to hold them accountable for that?
We
can hold them accountable in elections, but we need more voices saying that's not how we're going to attack that.
You know, so with the three county commission, there was no real check and balance there.
Yeah.
There's not right now. You know, they're three like-minded people, and if it's a little off a center or a lot off
mm-hmm.
a center, then you know that's just the way we get governed. You know, so I don't know. You know, so we finally decided that it was time to make the move, and so we did it. You know?
Excellent. And we.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of other people.
Yeah.
You know,
okay,
there's it was bipartisan. We went into it. With a bipartisan effort, you know, we wanted to make it bipartisan, so there was no you got an axe to grind or anything like that, you know. Some of the signers are Greg Aldred,
mm-hmm.
His wife Carol,
who are very conservative, yeah.
correct, you know,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
you know,
and I'm glad Greg's
and we don't want to kind of muddy the or get in the weeds with the issues, you know what I mean? So, but we just, you know, the issue is the ballot initiative. Is it right for you? And that's what you're going to have to decide, you know, in the November election.
Do you want some representation in the county, which affects your lands, which affects everything? It affects everything. So do we want that? I would say we do. I would say we want some more voices. It's kind of a little club. and you ain't in it, as George Carlin says. It's a good idea. And we'll explain in the show why the court packing of the Supreme Court then is a completely different issue. Just so everyone knows, I'm not being hypocritical here, because I'm calling the court packing out. Even Biden said it was a bonehead idea in 1983, and it is. And they have a different role to play. County commissioners have a different role amongst the people. And they need to have a few more voices to be able to contradict some lame decisions that they make, or to say, why are you doing this? Or to have some different voices chime in. We need some constitutionalists on that county commission.
And a three-person county commission is as small as you can get, you know? So, we've outgrown that. Greg was talking about his dad, you know?
Yeah.
With 20,000 people in the county was a three county commission, you know?
I agree with you on that one.
Yeah. And, so there are seven part-timers, mm-hmm. along with part-time pay. And that's spelled out in the ballot initiative also, you know?
Okay.
So we're not adding a lot of, for lack of a better word, burden to the mm-hmm. to the county coffer kind of thing, you know,
sure.
what I mean, that they're going to have to come up with, you know. It should pretty well balance out.
And, right,
you
right.
know, and one of the things that they do is prior to, you know, they put out a cost statement, you know, a cost mm-hmm. estimate statement, what this thing's going to cost, so the voters know that, you know.
Right, exactly.
Right up front.
Exactly,
know?
And I like
yeah.
that. And, you could really kind of spread that around. Between the commissioners, right?
Correct.
Instead of three making a great amount of money, right?
Right. And we was adding all that up earlier today, you know? And
yeah.
So it was kind of interesting. We had a little downtime.
Yeah. I so appreciate you doing this, Alan.
Okay.
I think it's great. And I do think we need some more representation, because locally we really could now see, I hope, the problem. You know?
Yeah, and again, it's up to the people, you know?
This year. Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to have any trouble getting the signatures, you know?
Oh, heavens no. You'll have way more than that landslide.
Right, we have to drag it over the finish line.
Where can people go and sign? Where can people...
Well, we won't get... And they won't issue signature things until after the 20 days that it's been approved.
So next month, we'll put a plan in place
and let
people know where they can sign this?
Yeah, we have a little group, and we'll put it all together, and we'll let it out, and, you know, I mean, it'll probably be like Vernon Worthen Park, you know,
right.
off the highway on 18, you know, and you know, in Hurricane, you know, different places where, you know, if you want to, it's not going to take you a lot to get over there and get it taken care of, you know, and get your signature on there. You also have to be a registered voter to sign that, to be a legitimate signer.
Right. Okay. And I really, you know, I'm really going to concentrate on local. We need to concentrate on mayors and city councils, county commissioners, and everything that affects our life. What affected our life the most was our governor, and then, of course, the county commissioners and the city councils. And this was the biggest lesson last year. I hope everyone has paid attention to the fact that not a lot of people are standing up. Not a lot of people will do that for us. And so we do need more representation on this. You're right. It's about as small as you can get. This is about the smallest. Yeah. We've grown, and we definitely need that. So I really appreciate you, Alan. Alan Davis, thank you.
Thank you.
I'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere. I have so much to update you on and tell you. So I hope you're going to stay tuned in. Park the car. Be right back. Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
It's all right. Little darling, it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. Little darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
Kate Daly Show. So happy to be here today. So much to go over in this hour because there's a lot happening. So Investigator Dave will join me in the next hour. And Uncle Milty will be back tomorrow. I've got a great guest, Gary Wayne, tomorrow. Some of the students from Hurricane will be joining me tomorrow. And Rob Couch joins me in the last hour. And I wanted to mention ABC Auto Body. If you're in an accident, they're the only ones to go to. They fixed more cars than I care to admit on the air with my teenagers. And I just want to say that they've made our cars look beautiful. They are amazing folks, honest. I love these guys. ABC Auto Body Central. And if you have anything that needs fixing, and ask them. Just ask them. They'll be so forthright and just tell you, you know, what they can do. And if they're able to do it, this is the place to put, you know, your trust in and also your vehicle in to work with the insurance company. They just do a fantastic job and they've got all the experience in the world. So please, these guys are the best. Go with them. I love them. They're great supporters of this show and have been for a long time. Big shout out to Auto Body Central for loving this country and being a great small business. I also want to give a shout out to Dr. Diet as well. If you're looking to kick some weight as summer's approaching and you're realizing, oh my gosh, I got to lose a 20, 40, 50, 100 pounds. It doesn't matter. It's always the same issue. Make sure you go to Dr. Diet because they'll help do a body analysis for free. And you'll get to understand kind of where your health's at. And then they'll help you to design what's going to work best for you. They'll let you know maybe how many calories that you should be eating to lose weight or to maintain. And also with appetite control or B12 shots or metabolic boosters or all those things. They have a medical doctor, holistic, you name it. They have everyone in that office and they are just awesome, even chiropractic. So go to Dr. Diet. They're on St. George Boulevard, 628 Diet. They're just an amazing group of people that know what they're doing. They truly know what they're doing. I love Dr. Diet. They're just awesome people. I've used them in the past and I just absolutely love them. A couple of things I want to relay to you. Yesterday, I talked about Biden. Well, Biden Cox, it's the same thing. Our Governor Cox in having a meeting with the principals and the superintendents and telling them that they would really like, his state people anyway, telling them that they would really like to see the testing continue for COVID next year for sports and extracurricular activities next year. Yeah, next year. And for the money, for the cash, they actually said for the cash. Isn't that great? So, no, we're not going to prostitute our kids out. Now, let me just tell you, I've been hearing from a lot of folks, as you can possibly imagine, and the superintendents are not for this. The superintendents are collectively, pretty much across the board in the state, saying, we're fatigued, parents are fatigued, we're not doing this. Now, I applaud that. That's great. They need to go the extra mile, but I just want to let you guys know the majority of superintendents, including this one, are saying we don't want this. Now we get to see where it lands, though. Okay, let's see where it lands. Let's see how courageous they're going to be in saying absolutely no. So I wanted to relay that to you, and then I also wanted to tell you about Utah Parents United. They're making progress in the state on getting districts to accept parent exemptions for mask wearing as opposed to medical exemptions, a parent exemption. And there's a lot of results to be had. It's really good. They had an April 12th walk-in without a mask in all schools that occurred. I don't know if you guys realize that, but that was April 12th and that happened. And then the school districts are doing all these crazy things. There's some school districts out there that are accepting exemptions from medical doctors having a nurse review them, and then if they're accepted, sitting the kids in the back of the room behind plexiglass of all things. Can you imagine doing this psychologically to a kid? It's child abuse. That's child abuse. The out for the state and all the schools is simple. Let the parents sign the exemption or the kids, you know, go in mass like they did at Hurricane Intermediate and be suspended. Whatever, you know, do what we have to do here. This is getting ridiculous. Gives parents the choice and ends the drama if the parents can sign something. So Kane County and San Juan District in the past 2 days have done it. They got Superintendent Dixon on the radio on KSL saying the parents could sign them. And we have met with Education Advisor Cummins, who stated under no uncertain terms, they are saying mass exemptions are not valid. And today they have a whistleblower giving a press, administrator giving a press release. And so I love this. This is good. We need more of that. We need more of this. I can't say it enough. Oh my gosh. I also want to mention Freedom Fest is coming up in July 21st through the 24th in South Dakota. This would be a great vacation if you want to go. This would be awesome. Speakers the entire time. That is in July. Okay. Right around the 24th holiday here in Utah. And so 21st through the 24th, fantastic speakers. It's quite an event. And most of you, all your favorites will be there. And then also, I'm going to go too. I'm on a panel too, but I'm going to go and support that. I think it's great. The April 30th event up in Moroni, Utah is coming up. April 30th is food trucks and dancing and fun and no masks and lots of speakers. I think Ammon is speaking, Ammon Bundy and Eric and Natalie Klein from the school board, so many speakers. And so that will be a great event up in Moroni on Friday, April 30th. You can travel up there and take a tent, spend the night. It's on a huge piece of property out in the middle of just some gorgeous, gorgeous country. So that's coming up April 30th. I also wanted to mention too, let's see here on my list to make sure I'm not forgetting anything. The KSL put out a question. KSL is interesting. I'll get to this in just a second. Let me take a phone call. But KSL, I don't know who's writing their posts, but they're the most ignorant people, I think, on the planet. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate, it's Randa.
Hi there. What's going on?
Oh, just about everything that can ruffle a parent's feathers.
I bet. So tell us, update us.
So we've got to educate our school district, our superintendent, anybody involved, that they do have the power to mm-hmm. say no to the governor okay. and give the parents the choice to demask their children.
Yes.
I'm trying to put a group together. It's in the very beginning planning stages. Whoever wants to be on board to help us, we're going to try and go to the school district at their next board meeting mm-hmm. And just find out who really is on board with
right.
demasking the children and who isn't. And so we need to educate those who aren't.
Man, I would hope by now everyone's on board because I am telling you it's been over a year. We haven't figured it out by now. I don't know what to say, but I'm with you on this. How can they help you? What can we do?
I need the right kind of lawyer. I'm not sure what we're looking for, who we're looking for. If mm-hmm. anybody has ideas, okay. Anybody that wants to help go to the meeting, just get this all planned. Just have them contact me.
Okay. Excellent. I will. And then is there a great way? Do you have an email address? Is there a great way to reach you?
Yes, my email is toobusyranda. It's T-O-O, B as in boy, U-S-Y. And then my name, R-H-A-N-D-A, at Yahoo.
Okay.
Or they can text me or call me as well.
Excellent. I really appreciate you. Thank you for putting so much effort in for the kids. Thank you for holding that prom. That was awesome. You had a great turnout. That was awesome. So
we did. Yep,
love
it.
My hat's off to you, Randa. Thank you. Appreciate
you
and all your efforts. See, it's concerned parents like that. That's what it's all about. That's what's going to turn the tide. I can't believe we're doing this to our kids right now. It's truly amazing, isn't it? So KSL asked a question, and the question was, do you want another check from the government? Would you like some more money? I know. I'm just going to let that sit for a second. Think about that. Think about that. Okay. Would you like some more money from the government? I guess it comes from the government tree. All the trees in the back of the White House. They spring money. Well, it's not far from the truth. They have a ginormous printing machine and they're awfully busy. But it's our money. Government doesn't have a dime. So KSL puts this out and starts asking people because, you know, there's lots of people that are be like, nah, I don't want any money. So, of course, people are chiming in going, yeah, I'd really like that. That'd be good. hey, you mean I get some money? So I'd like some money. It's almost like, you know, kicking puppies. I mean, yeah, if you don't want the money, you're a puppy kicker. Well, instead of educating people, they're throwing it out there like low-hanging fruit. Oh, hey, this is enticing, huh? Do you want some money? And so I instructed them that, hey, you know, the money comes from us, and it's not theirs to give to us, and we just want them to stop locking down people, taking away liberty, or trying to, under the guise that they can, which they can't, but people won't see through that, and then get out of our lives. How about that? So the first 100 days, Cox said, hey, we've handed out 1.8 million vaccines, and I now have $1 billion in the rainy day fund. I remember when it was 2 million. Now it's $1 billion. And he said, then he put together a rural office, you know, to come on down and get on some boots so he can be one of us. And then, by the way, we don't need that. No, we don't need the condescending. Now I'm down in the southern part. I love that. But what paid for that? What paid for the programs they're coming up with left and right? What's paying for all of that? His first 100 days in office was to sell all of you out, get the vaccines, push the vaccines, get money for those vaccines and COVID dollars, right? For obeying like a good little boy. And then he gets to claim all these things that he's done, which was paid for by that money in which he sold you out. Wow. And then he was also super proud of the discrimination, equality, equity. I mean, I don't know if he's read the Constitution. I don't think the governor has. I don't think he understands it. I don't think he wants to know. He's extremely liberal progressive. So I guess we have to say hats off to you for being a progressive, because you're nailing it if you're a progressive. This is exactly what a progressive does in office. This is exactly what Governor Newsom in California would do in office. Applaud himself, pat himself on the back, and tell you that he hoards you out. Yeah, but look what he did for you, because government does it all for you and claim authority he doesn't have. This is what just happened. So he's out there with this chart. I couldn't even believe it. It was astounding. It was astounding. The nerve. So he is on radio every Wednesday night from 6 to 7, and you can give him a call and you can ask him questions about these kinds of things. That would probably be really good for him to hear it from a lot of Utahns that are very concerned. I know this area, not his fans. When he showed up at a golf course down here, he had 8 people, 5 of which were staff. 3 people came. Yeah. Anyway, I'll be right back. Kate Daly Show.
We're open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
And the dreams that you dream of once in a lullaby. Oh, somewhere over the rainbow, blue.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. Oh, this is a great time to get a bullfrog hot tub. There's so many options, financing options, a fiberglass pool, a swim spa. And if you move, you can take it with you. How great is that? They have passion swim spas, hydro pool swim spas, all kinds of different kinds to serve your needs, therapeutic or exercise or both, or what is your need? And then also the bullfrog spa jet packs that are removable, that with the different seat heights. This is the only hot tub I ever found that had all the different seat heights with the jet packs that are removable. It makes all the difference in the world. And they're very, very easy to operate and simple. It's just simple. And they last forever. So make sure you get over to Tropical Pool and Spa, Tropical Fiberglass Pools, I should say. They really are that good. 688-8797. 688-8797. So many different types of chlorine or salt water or you name it. There's just all kinds of different things that they offer. And I really like these guys. They were great to work with and they did everything they said they would do. They're just amazing. So make sure that you get over there. Love those guys. Tropical fiberglass pools on the web. So I want to talk about court packing for a moment, and this is a little bit different when we're talking about the Supreme Court trying to add seats. And you and I, you know, we know, right? By now, you would have heard the clip about with Biden. Let me play the clip really fast for you.
Just if I can make an analogy,
I'm sorry. Let me preface this. This was 1983 Biden, so he doesn't say, "Oh, the thing a lot." He can finish a sentence in this. He was still a progressive liberal hack, but here is what he said about court packing back in 1983. Reagan was president. Here you go.
Just if I can make an analogy that's not totally appropriate, but to talk about perceptions Joe. For a moment. Speak of perceptions mm-hmm. and why I think they're so important. President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate and the United States Congress a proposal to pack the court. It was totally within his right to do that. He violated no law. He was legalistically absolutely correct, but it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make, and it put in question for an entire decade the independence of the most significant body, including the Congress, in my view, the most significant body in this country, the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Now, let me tell you why he's wrong. It is not the most significant body. Like he said, even including Congress, it's not the most, it's the most significant. No, it's not, actually. It's not. It was designed to be the weakest branch. And this comes from Chris Ann Hall. She's unable to make it. She's filming her documentary this week. And this comes from her. She said, when you look at Article 3, you're going to notice the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court is very limited and very specifically established. And as a matter of fact, as the Constitution, newly proposed federal government, was being debated, Hamilton explained that the judicial authority is declared by the Constitution to comprehend certain cases particularly specified. The expression of those cases marks the precise limits beyond which the federal courts cannot extend their jurisdiction. That was in Federalist 83. And it also, Federalist 78 was, it proves incontestably that the judiciary is beyond comparison the weakest of the three departments of power. That's Federalist 78, the weakest. The Supreme Court is not the ultimate authority on any federal authority, including its own. For the Supreme Court to be the arbiter of its own power asserts that the federal government's only limitation on its own judgment and will. So such a premise would negate the very existence of the Constitution that created the federal government in the first place. The judiciary is just as limited in its power by the Constitution as the other two branches of government. And Thomas Jefferson said this in 1812. After the country was established, he said, "The great object of my fear is the federal judiciary. That body, like gravity, ever acting with noiseless foot and unalarming advance, gaining ground step by step and holding what it gains, is engulfing insidiously the special governments into the jaws of that which feeds them. Government will become as venal and oppressive as the government from which we separated." Boy, is that not the truth. Courts do not issue rulings. Kings issue rulings. This is from Chris Ann. Courts issue opinions, and when those opinions are not consistent with the Constitution, those opinions are no more binding upon you than your next-door neighbor's opinions. So true. Roe versus Wade was an opinion on a Texas case. Wasn't a federal law. So in short, it doesn't really matter how many Supreme Court justices we have. What matters, will they follow the limited and defined delegation of power as those who created the authority intended, or hold the other branches within those same limits? If the answer is, you know, yes to that question, then pack away, she says. We know, however, the politicians who are seeking to pack the court, you know, their intention, are not doing so to get judges who will be true to the Constitution. These politicians seek to manipulate the people and the laws for their political favor by seating activist judges, you know, those ones with an agenda, who will ignore the standards over their own authority to increase the power and influence of those who put them in power. See? Give them the reins, right? Americans of all political ideologies must see the long-term damage of this action and deny our members of Congress that authority. To ignore these self-evident truths will ensure that Jefferson's warning, the one that I read, becomes prophecy, and will reconstruct the Supreme Court into an oppressive government from which we separated. Also, the powers not delegated to the federal government are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. The 10th Amendment of the Constitution makes it clear if a power is not specifically delegated to the federal government, is a power that is reserved for the states. Powers that have not been specifically delegated to the federal government are not powers the federal government can lawfully exercise. So the powers delegated to the courts are enumerated in Article 3 of the Constitution. And a thorough read of Article 3 that takes about, 20 seconds, proves that there are powers specifically not delegated to the Supreme Court, so they'll remain at the state level. In fact, the majority of the judicial authority was to remain at the state level without federal court involvement. Let me say that again. The majority of judicial authority was to remain at the state level, not the Supreme Court, without this federal court involvement as well. So the legal proof of this comes from those who ratified the Constitution, the true authority for the meaning and application of the Constitution. Madison said in 1787, the great mass of suits in every state lie between citizen and citizen and relate to matters not of federal cognizance. Okay. I love that. Anyway, hi, caller. Go right ahead.
Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Since you brought up Roe v. Wade, I thought I'd kind of enlighten everybody a little bit on that case.
Okay.
There were seven. There were nine members, of course, of the Supreme Court when Roe v. Wade came up before them. Seven of the nine voted to affirm Roe v. Wade. Of the seven that voted to affirm Roe v. Wade, five of them were Republican nominees.
Wow.
So that completely blows the premise.
Yep.
That and James Madison was very clear on the three branches of the federal government. And the Supreme Court's not one of them. The three branches of the federal government, according to James Madison, were the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the executive branch.
Right.
And of those three, the one we've lost was the Senate because of the fact that we, when we passed a amendment to the Constitution, we allowed the states to lose their hold in the federal government over their states' rights,
right?
Because after they took away the right for the states to appoint their senators and made it a public election thing, the states' legislatures no longer have any power over the federal government.
Yeah, thank you for that. Really appreciate that. Great call. Yeah, I'll go ahead and take another caller. Hi. All right, I'm trying. Okay, great call. Thank you for that. I want to give you another stance from Michael Rappaport of the 10th Amendment Center. Is court packing constitutional? He said he used to believe court packing was clearly constitutional under the Constitution's original meaning, but he had changed his mind. So he thought that it was constitutional to do that. And then he said that he gave this. He said, look, he said he doesn't agree with that anymore. It's not constitutional. He said the Constitution does not simply say that Congress can add additional justices to the Supreme Court. There's no power for Congress to just add additional justices, okay? Instead, it gives Congress this power through the necessary and proper clause. Congress has the power to make all laws which are necessary and proper for carrying into execution all other powers vested by this Constitution. in the government of the United States or any department of officer thereof. Since the Constitution, so here it is, establishes a Supreme Court, Congress can help to carry into execution the Supreme Court's authority by adding positions into the court. While Congress can add positions, it can only do so if its law is necessary and proper. And here is where the issue becomes interesting. He said it is not clear that what the original meaning of necessary and proper authority of Congress is. While Congress would have the authority to court pack under some reasonable interpretations, it would not have the authority under reasonable interpretations, other reasonable interpretations. So he said, in particular, the question is what constraints necessary and proper, what does that impose, right? And so the necessary component of is often thought of as involving the means and connection that Chief Justice Marshall included in McCullough versus Maryland. How strict the means and connection must be is an important and difficult question. But that is not the key issue here, since it seems obvious that establishing additional offices can help to carry into execution the authority of the Supreme Court. Rather, it's the meaning of proper. See, it was necessary and proper. So proper that is central here. One possibility is that proper does not add anything to necessary. So the two terms should be read together as requiring the means and scrutiny, like a check and balance, that was discussed in that McCullough case. That has been the main, but not the only way the Supreme Court has interpreted the clause in modern times. And there are other interpretations of proper, too. The important understanding of proper is that it requires that the law Congress is passing not violate the spirit of the Constitution. And the idea here is that the necessary means and power can be extremely broad, which would allow the Congress to undermine important constitutional principles such as federalism and separation of powers. So it wouldn't be proper. Therefore, the word proper was added to require that necessary was check and balanced by the word proper. See, can you do it? Should you do it? You want to do it? You know, all of these questions, right? It's a check and balance. Is it necessary, but is it proper to do? So that's the check and balance authority, and that it not violate the spirit of the Constitution. In that way, Congress could not use its necessary authority to undermine the Constitution, because then it wouldn't be proper. So the support for all of this, you know, as they're going to be talking about this, and of course, Biden before said it was a boneheaded idea, and now he's not, he kind of likes it. Because right now they've got the three branches pretty much all tied up, and they've got the Supreme Court all tied up. They've got the Supreme Court right where they want them. And so by doing this, there's a very, very clear agenda here. It might violate the spirit of the Constitution, and Congress would be exercising its broad authority over the number of seats to control the decisions of the Supreme Court. That's an agenda. This would undermine the purpose and structure of the Constitution's establishment by an independent Supreme Court. If Congress could simply expand the number of seats on the Supreme Court, the court would then not be independent anymore. All right, we got that. So if you're explaining that to people, right, that check and balance of the words necessary and proper, extremely important to understand. All righty. I will be right back with Investigator Dave. And then we have a government attorney coming on in the last hour about what's going on in Minnesota, that case. And so I will be right back. Don't go anywhere. KateDallyRadio.com. You can email me, Kate at KateDallyRadio.com. Thanks.